This episode is being recorded on July 19th, 2017. That's my daughter Alyssa's 5th birthday. So I just want to take a moment here to say, Alyssa, happy birthday. Daddy loves you very, very much. This is episode number 12, and your Life After Blindness journey continues right now. Hello and welcome to episode number 12 of Life After Blindness. This is the podcast where we are dedicated to the exploration of an enabled life with blindness. I'm your host, Tim Schwartz, and I'd like to thank you very much for joining me this week. And if you are new to the podcast, thank you so much for finding us and listening. I hope that you enjoy what I have to offer. And if you do, please go back and take a listen to previous episodes. I think you might find something there that you will enjoy. As always, the information that you hear in this episode and any links that you hear me talk about can be found in the show notes for the podcast. You can find that by going to lifeafterblindness.com/12. That's lifeafterblindness.com/12. We've got a lot of things to talk about. Let's start off with the news. The first story that I want to share with you this week comes to us based on new FCC regulations that require television and cable box companies to incorporate better accessibility in their products. So Philips and Samsung are the first to announce that their on-screen displays will now be accessible for the blind using text-to-speech engines. So you will be able to navigate your settings and other features on screen with Philips and Samsung televisions. And I'm sure this will start to trickle out into other companies as well. And also with these FCC regulations, this will impact Blu-ray players, DVD players, and any cable box manufactured after December of 2016 will also be required to have an accessible on-screen menu. So no more having to have the right cable box or the top-tier cable box from your cable company and possibly having to pay more. Every box now manufactured going forward will have to have that on-screen ability and accessibility to have the text-to-speech for you. So that, I think, is going to be a big thing going forward for us to require all these boxes to have that accessibility, and then add to that the televisions themselves being accessible with the on-screen menu so that you can access not just your settings, but other smart TV features as well. I think this is going to be a big deal going forward for us. Speaking of FCC regulations, going forward for the next year, so between now and July of 2018, television stations, television networks are going to be required in the United States to offer up to 75% more audio described content. So they will be working out between now and then what the top, I believe it's 5 networks are that have to offer this, as well as cable companies. But you will start to see over the next year a dramatic increase. Like I said, up to 75% more audio described content on your network and cable television channels. So again, partnered with the television accessibility and cable box accessibility, this is just another great thing coming to us based on FCC regulation, but is something that's going to be very helpful to be able to access audio described content in another way. We already have Netflix, we have iTunes, and now with the push of the FCC, we will get even more audio described content on network and cable television coming for the next year. And speaking of audio description, another big thing that happened the last few weeks while I was away is that Amazon announced that their Amazon Prime Video apps and anything that utilizes Amazon Prime Video will now offer audio described tracks for the blind. So yes, just like Netflix before them and even iTunes, if you have Amazon Prime Video, you can now go in and get audio described content from Amazon's original programs, as well as many other movies and TV shows that Amazon offers either free to their Prime members or for additional purchase. So it does work just like Netflix, where you go into your subtitles and audio menu when you're playing a video or playing a movie, and you will be able to select from different audio features, and Audio Description US is going to be one of those. And so once you've turned that on, you will then be able to get an audio described track for that show. So if there's ever been any original programming from Amazon that you've wanted to watch, but you just stayed away because you would have rather had Audio Description, or any other shows or movies that maybe Amazon Prime offers that you would have liked description with, go take a look at Amazon Prime Video, because now, just again, like Netflix before them, they are offering audio description. So this is a big deal. Now, I do want to mention that if you take a look at the Audio Description Project's website, and I'll have a link to this in the show notes, they are making a big push for Hulu to now follow suit. So Hulu being another big provider of content, movies and television shows like Netflix and Amazon, they do not offer proper accessibility or even audio description with their shows and movies. So you can go out and sign a petition and let your voice be heard to get Hulu to follow suit here and also offer audio description. So we're very excited about Amazon coming on board, but let's not stop the momentum. Let's get Hulu involved. Let's get any other company involved and really push to get audio description to be a regular, normal part of our everyday media experience. If you haven't noticed, and if you're blind and visually impaired, I'm sure you have, this time of year is convention season, and the last 2 weeks, we have experienced the ACB as well as the NFB conventions, respectively. And so out of those conventions have been a lot of big news items. And those are going to be things that we're going to cover in an upcoming special edition of the Life After Blindness podcast. I'm going to have some special guests on, at least one or more that were actually at one of the conventions. And we're going to talk about all the goings on, some of the big announcements, including Microsoft's new app called Seeing AI. We'll also talk about Aira, I'm sure. We'll talk about new Braille displays and devices, as well as the accessible televisions that I talked about earlier. I'm sure we'll also get into the new products from Humanware, including the new Victor Reader Trek, which is a combination between the Victor Reader Stream and their Trekker Breeze that was discontinued last year. And so all these things and more we will be talking about, again, in an upcoming convention special. So be looking forward to that coming in your podcast feed very, very soon. So much to cover. I want to make sure that we give it the time and attention that it deserves, rather than just a quick bullet point on a news part right here in the podcast. So definitely be looking for that coming up. If not this week, probably next week, we'll get that recorded and out there to everybody to listen to from the conventions. To close out the news this week, I want to take a moment to mention something that's more a special thank you than it is necessarily news. I want to thank Stephen Scott and Sean Preece of the RNIB Tech Talk radio show and podcast over in the UK. The last few weeks, they've actually had me filling in on their podcast due to a couple different circumstances. And so in between my own issues, between my not feeling well, my mother's accident, and other things going on that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, I was able to find a little bit of time to record with them. So it started off a few weeks ago as me just coming on for a short segment to discuss the audio description features in Amazon Prime Video, turned into me coming in 3 weeks ago in a row to guest co-host with them. So first it started with me filling in for their co-host Julie, who has been away for a few weeks now getting a new guide dog named Coco. And so she's been working with that guide dog for the last few weeks. And I was originally just to fill in for her while she was gone. Well, the second week, unfortunately, Stephen fell ill and was unable to continue these last 2 weeks while he's been recovering from illness. And so it's just been Sean Preece and I filling in for the podcast. And so I just want to say thank you so much to them. It's unfortunate that Stephen fell ill and wasn't able to continue with us while I was filling in for Julie. And so my best goes out to him. Best wishes to Stephen in his recovery. And I hope that he's back behind the mic very, very soon, because he and Sean and Julie do such a wonderful job with that podcast. But that being all said, it was an amazing experience so far. And I know that they want to have me come back on even more. I may even be on again next week. But I just want to thank them here on my podcast for allowing me to come on and fill in and be a part of their show and that experience. I really have learned a lot. And like I said, it was a lot of fun working with those folks over at RNIB Tech Talk. So if you want to take a listen to those episodes, just look up RNIB Tech Talk in your podcast player of choice, or take a look on Google for RNIB Connect Radio, and you'll find it there under Tech Talk. Regular listeners to the podcast know that recently I've started a new segment that I call Because of My Blindness. Now, for you, those of you who are new, let me explain what this segment is about. I call it Because of My Blindness because I want to hear your inspirational stories, your positive stories about something that's happened to you because of your blindness that may not have ever happened if you hadn't gone blind. So in the first mention of this that I talked about on the podcast, I talked about how because of my blindness, I was able to be at a particular place at a particular time where I was able to meet Mr. and Mrs. Obama before they became president and first lady. And that only happened because my blindness allowed me to get into a certain part of an event that I otherwise would have never been able to get to. And I was able to shake hands with them and meet them and speak with them for several minutes. And so because of my blindness, I was in a position where I was able to have that very wonderful, very meaningful experience that I will never, ever forget. Now, in our first installment of this, we heard from Bobby, who sent me a message on Vrail, an audio message on the social media app Vrail. And he talked about how because of his blindness, he was put in a position where he found a social network app like Vrail and found the love of his life. He was able to actually find somebody and meet with them and talk with them and fall in love. And he attributes that to the fact that, you know, if he hadn't been blind, he wouldn't have found this particular person in this particular way. And so he was grateful to the app itself for bringing him to this person. Obviously, he would prefer not to be blind, of course, as we all would prefer not to be blind. However, he realizes that if he hadn't been blind, he wouldn't have had to take these particular steps that he did in order to find this love of his life. And now they're engaged. And within the next few years, they are going to get married. So again, congratulations to them on their upcoming wedding. But that was the first story we heard, was from Bobby. And so again, this week, I have another Because of My Blindness story that is a bit more serious, actually. And really shows you what blindness can do and how empathy and understanding can really be helpful and beneficial, and how you can help somebody else through their life after blindness journey. So this week we have a story from a young lady named Andrea. She also sent a message via Vrail. So let's take a listen to Andrea's Because of My Blindness story.
Because of my blindness, I was able to help my ex-husband go through his loss of vision. When I met my ex-husband, he was 26, and he was going blind due to diabetic retinopathy. And he didn't know anybody in his life who was blind. And we met on a chat line. And I have been totally blind since birth. So, yeah, he met me and I helped him get through the whole going blind process. At one point he wanted to kill himself and I was able to talk him out of it. I was able to show him that his life wasn't over simply because he couldn't see anymore.
Thank you very much, Andrea, for submitting that story because of your blindness. And it's interesting that a story like Andrea's, where it was a very serious situation, where she was able to help her ex-husband get through these things with his vision loss because she'd already been there. She already had gone through a lot of this and understood what was happening with him. And so she was able to be there for him and really help him get through some of these difficult times. And so your Because of My Blindness story doesn't always have to be silly or fun or funny. It can be very serious, but ultimately something that was a positive, something that in the end it was inspiring or positive and really had a major impact on you. And so again, thank you, Andrea, for your post or your message here about your, because of my blindness. Now, if you'd like to send your story in to me because of your blindness, you can send an email, send that email to tim@lifeafterblindness.com. If you'd like, you can just type out your story. So just write it in the email for me and I'll read it here on the podcast. Or as I would really prefer, if you could, record your voice. So if you can record using an app like Just Press Record, or even just the Voice Memos app on your phone, Android or iPhone device, attach that to the email so that I can play that here on the podcast and I'll share your stories. Also, if you are a member of the VoRail community, that's spelled V-O-R-A-I-L, that's an audio social network that a lot of blind people are using, you can send a message to me there as well. If you search for my username, which is Tim the Enchanter, yes, just like Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Tim the Enchanter, look for me on there and you can submit your because of my blindness story there as well. So again, thank you, Andrea, and thank you to anybody else who submits their stories. And we look forward to playing those and hearing those on future episodes of the podcast. I'd like to close out the podcast this week by talking about the 10th anniversary of the release of the iPhone. That's right, last month, June of 2017, was the 10th anniversary of when the iPhone was first released. Now, of course, that's not when the iPhone first had accessibility for the blind. That came later on in 2009 with the launch of the iPhone 3GS and the implementation of VoiceOver. But I want to go back and talk about that first announcement and release of the iPhone. Now, of course, I know my Android friends out there are going to say, well, hey, wait, what about us? TalkBack works just fine and it's accessible and we use that too. And you're absolutely right. I don't want to take anything away from that. So you can think of this next segment as really being a dedication to smartphones in general, but also specifically to the iPhone, because of course that's what I've used. That was what I came to first with the 3GS when it came out and using VoiceOver. And so that's what I'm familiar with. And that's what I'm going to talk about here. The other reason I want to talk about it is because I had written an article earlier in the year about the release or the announcement of the iPhone, the 10th anniversary of the announcement. And I reworked that article a little bit for the 10th anniversary of the release of the iPhone. I submitted it to a website called themighty.com. Some of you might be familiar with that website. They are a pretty big website that specifically deals with stories about disability. So blindness, deafness, autism, epilepsy, you name it. They have very positive and very inspirational stories, helpful stories, tech stories, all related to different types of disabilities. So again, that's themighty.com. I submitted my story that I wrote about the iPhone to The Mighty, and it was actually recently published just within the last couple of weeks. And so I want to first say thank you to themighty.com for accepting and publishing my story. This story is actually what I want to talk about, and I'm going to go through each of the bullet points here with you just real quickly. Well, maybe not quickly, but talk with you about the different bullet points in the story. I did a top 10 of things that have really affected and impacted the blind and visually impaired community with the release of the iPhone. And so we're going to start off with the very first thing, which is portability. As Steve Jobs mentioned in his original keynote, you have several different things in one device. And that wasn't only important for the sighted, of course, but very important for the blind and visually impaired community. Up until then, we had to have several different devices, big and clunky devices, expensive devices, and usually throw those all in a backpack or some other sort of case and travel around with that. So we have magnifiers and music players and GPS devices and all these things rolled in or that are now rolled into the iPhone, all as separate devices. And so portability was a little bit more difficult. And so as Steve Jobs noted in his very memorable keynote address, they were able to take a music player, the iPod, a communications device, and a phone, and put it all into one device. And then later with the release of the App Store, honestly, the ability of the iPhone really became endless. And so it was just up to the imaginations of the developers, which I'll get to here in later bullet points. But portability really ended up being a major thing for the blind and visually impaired community. The next point on the article is mainstream. And so what I mean by this is the fact that we can utilize an iPhone, or for you Android users, sure, an Android device as well. But for the first time, we were able to really truly have all the, not just portability and but functionality of all types of different devices in one mainstream device. So if you were sitting on the bus or walking down the street or out in public somewhere, you didn't have to feel like you stood out by using some big specific device that was made for the blind. You actually could use for the first time, truly, really for the first time, something that was enabled for you to be mainstream. And so you didn't have to feel like you were using something separate and specific and like I said, stand out. So I think that mainstream feeling was very important to a lot of people. The next thing on my list on the in the article is gaming. When the App Store came out later on, like I said, it really opened up a lot of things that we were able to do. Of course, we've had games for the blind and visually impaired for a long, long time, going back to the DOS days and text adventures, things like that. We've had 3D audio games and all that for the PC and the Mac. But with the iPhone, we have a whole new experience with all those types of things all on one device. So text adventures, story adventures, 3D audio, all kinds of different puzzles, card games, all those types of things that we're now able to have available to us in the palm of our hands right in our iPhone. And so no matter where we go, we have our own personal gaming device that we never had before. And I think that that has really made a major impact on the blind and visually impaired community to be able to have access to games that we've never had access to before. And again, back to that portability of being able to have those games available to us on the go. The next thing on the list as we go down the article is books and reference. And so what I talk about here in the article are, of course, your apps that you can access for books, like Audible, Bard, as well as other library-specific apps, and reference apps like being able to access the dictionary, encyclopedias, Wikipedia, all those types of things. Things that, again, we can now access on our iPhones in the palm of our hands that we can carry around in our pocket that we didn't have before. We used to have to have separate book players or separate other devices to be able to do these things, or have to have big clunky Braille books or be able to access on a laptop or computer to get these things. And now we're able to listen to our audiobooks or textbooks like on Bookshare and other apps right in the palm of our hands, and be able to take a book wherever we are, wherever we want to go, just like our sighted peers. So again, wrapping us up into that, not just the portability, but the mainstream aspect and feel of being able to read a book just like anybody else right in the palm of our hand. That brings us into social interaction, which is the next thing down on the list. And social interaction includes a lot of different things. So talking about not just using your iPhone as a phone, of course, for social interaction and FaceTime and Skype and things like that, but then other social media networks, so Twitter, Facebook, things like that, we now are able to access those things in an accessible way on our phones and know that they're going to be accessible. We're going to be able to connect with our friends, our family, even new people that we've never met before, all around the world, internationally. I can't tell you how many new friends I have met because I was able to access social networks on my phone and meet people all around the world and really be able to build good relationships and strong friendships with people that I never otherwise would have been able to meet if it had not been for the iPhone and the accessibility of it and the social interaction that it provides. The next thing on our list is audio description. Now, why this is specifically important is because, like I talked about earlier in this episode, audio description was something that you had to try to get on a specific DVD or Blu-ray disc, and usually that was hit or miss up until the last several years. But now with our iPhones, with apps like Netflix, and now just recently with Amazon Prime Video and iTunes, we now have access to audio-described content for movies and television shows like we've never had access to before. And so for entertainment purposes, I wanted to single this one out because audio description alone is such a big and major thing for us to be able to, again, have that mainstream feel, to feel like that we are getting the same information as our sighted peers. We're enjoying the content just as much as anybody else by having a description of what's going on screen that includes us, not excludes us. And so audio description in the palm of your hand is a major thing and something that has impacted us in a very big way. Something else that's also been big for us with the iPhone is news. So never before have you been able to access news so quickly and so interactively. With the advent of the Apple News app itself, plus every other news app out there, no matter which way you lean, no matter what TV station or radio station you want to listen to, you have access to everything. CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, any news outlet you would like, even your local news stations, you can access all of that, again, right in the palm of your hand and be able to get up-to-date news and information, you know, whenever you want to get it. So you get notifications, alerts, you can subscribe to different things to get that news on the go and get, you know, flash flood warnings, other types of alerts and warnings. And so news is a major thing as well that, of course, we never had access to before. Next on the list of things that have really impacted the visually impaired community from the iPhone is navigation. Navigation is something that is very key and very important to the blind and visually impaired community, of course. All of us are able to use our canes or our guide dogs to help us navigate and get around. But with the iPhone and different apps that we can utilize with it, we've also been now given something that we never had before. We can get turn-by-turn walking directions, driving directions. We can get information about where we are in relation to things around us. We can get information about points of interest. And then in addition to that, we can also then dive in and get more information about those points of interest. And so between all the different apps, not just the included Apple Maps or even when you can get Google Maps, but other apps like Blind Square and others, you're able to now get a lot more specific information about the world around you and be able to help navigate with those apps to help you get around in the world. And now with the advent of products like the Aira device, they have their app on the iPhone that coordinates with the Aira device. And so the ability to utilize the iPhone with other devices or with other apps in order to help us navigate the world around us has really been a big change and a major impact for our lives. For those of you counting along, there are only two more things in the list. The second to last thing is utilities. And what I mean by this are all those blind tools that we collect in a folder. You know the one I'm talking about, where you take your magnifiers, your barcode readers, your object identifiers, money readers, all those different things that we collect and put into one folder and try out and use and see what works best for us. And those utilities, I really believe, have made a major impact for us. Even with the release of the new Microsoft Seeing AI, which I'm sure we'll be talking about more in upcoming episodes, we have apps now available to us that enable us to identify objects, barcodes, which then also enable us to identify objects, and then with that, give us additional information about those products or about those objects. These object identifiers also can tell us more information about the world around us, so things that are within a room or even people that are within a room. Also, with these utilities, we have the ability now with the built-in camera, and thank you to listener Robert King, who pointed out that the camera, in addition to all these other utilities, has been a major thing to impact lives of people like himself. So in addition to having object recognition and money bill recognition, we also now have the ability to utilize the camera in our phones to take pictures, to be able to actually interact with our environment like we never had before. Blind photography has now become a mainstream thing because of what the iPhone has been able to do, because of how it can recognize faces and people and objects and things. Blind photographers now are able to do things that they never were able to do before. So thank you to Mr. King for talking with me about the photography aspect to add that to this utilities portion. Because originally I didn't add photography, but he made a very good point to me about that. Now this brings us to the very last thing about the iPhone that I mentioned in the article, which of course is its overall accessibility. So with the implementation of VoiceOver, Zoom, its magnifier, as well as the utilities that it has for the deaf and those who have motor skill issues, Apple has really made sure to make sure that the iPhone is available and accessible for everyone. All the different things that they implement for VoiceOver, all the different things that we can do and interact with, and then the ability to zoom in. So if you have low vision, VoiceOver, of course, if you have no vision or very little vision, but if you are low vision, you can use Zoom to zoom into things and see them a little bit bigger. And also if you have vision, now with the release of iOS 10 last year, you can now utilize your iPhone's camera as a handheld magnifier. And so to be able to have, again, all that functionality, all that accessibility in your pocket, in the palm of your hand, really has made a major impact. And so as I say in the article, I'd like to thank Apple for its continuous focus on accessibility in the iPhone and not forgetting us as they continue to develop and create the iPhone. And I also want to thank those developers out there who continuously make sure that their apps are accessible for the blind, mainstream apps specifically, as well as those who develop specifically for the blind. I'm sure it's not easy to do that, but I do want to thank those who do keep the blind in mind and make sure that their apps are accessible for us. So again, that was just kind of a walkthrough of the article that I wrote dedicated to the 10th anniversary of the release of Apple's iPhone. Again, you can find the article by going to lifeafterblindness.com/iPhone10, that's iPhone T-E-N, or you can take a look on themighty.com and find the article there. I'll have a link to both of those versions in the show notes. That wraps up episode number 12 of the Life After Blindness podcast. I'd like to thank you all again very, very much for supporting and listening to the podcast, and I really enjoy receiving your feedback. So keep those emails coming to tim@lifeafterblindness.com. Also, as I said before, if you'd like to get any links to anything mentioned in today's episode or additional information, you can find that in the show notes by visiting lifeafterblindness.com/12. That's lifeafterblindness.com/12. Please join me again next time as together we continue to find that there truly can be a life after blindness. Take care, everybody.